Hello and welcome to E-Bible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. We invite you to our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional Bible studies. And now with his study in the book of Romans, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to E-Bible Fellowship's Bible Study in the book of Romans. Tonight is study number 32 of Romans chapter 1, and we're going to be reading verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Okay, in our last study, we were looking at the first part of verse 16 that has the statement, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And then it continues, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And I mentioned before, the gospel is a synonym for the word of God, the Bible, like testimony or several other things that God could use to refer to the Bible, to the scripture. And so the gospel of Christ is itself the power of God unto salvation, or the word of God, which is what the gospel is this power that God uses. It's the power of God to salvation. And we can understand this by looking at another verse in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 10, in verse 17, in 17 it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you see, by the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the gospel, by the word of God. And faith would be salvation. God grants the gift of faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Well, that's the power of God unto salvation. And again, it completely identifies with the word. And then it goes on to say, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So here the Lord is laying out an order of salvation. And that's what is in view after telling us the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And the word believeth is condition by everything else the Bible says. And we have to allow the Bible to define its own terms and basically to be its own dictionary. And when we do that, we know that many can believe or profess belief and have intellectual belief, but few are truly believers, truly God's elect people, because biblical belief or saving belief is not something that happens in the human mind or is only a result of what comes out of the mouth. No, God tells us that genuine, sincere, actual belief must be in the heart. And we also read that in Romans chapter 10, where it says, beginning in verse 8, but what saith it, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, most preachers out there, most gospels out there, they're fine with the first part of Romans 10, verse 9, that you must confess Jesus with your mouth. They strongly emphasize that. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Do you believe? Yeah, I believe. Then you're saved. Ah, but they totally omit the second part of the statement that goes hand in hand with the first. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart. That's the big problem area, because it's not saying not with your human brain, but the heart is a synonym for the soul. You have to believe with your soul. And the problem there is that the soul of man is dead in trespasses and sins. And a dead thing cannot believe. So there cannot be belief in the heart of man. And that's why the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians, all men have not faith, not in their heart. Plenty of men have faith in their mouth and profess it. But when it's tried, when it's tested by God, okay, you say you're a Christian, you say you're a believer, you say you have faith. Now let me just put you to the test. He did this to the Israelites in the wilderness. They failed the test. He did it during the church age. Many failed the test. He's doing it in the day of judgment. Many have failed the test. I believe, they say, I'm a Christian. Almost 2 billion make that profession. But then the Bible says, okay, this is the doctrine of Christ, that the church age is over and you have to get out of the church. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. The Bible says that there is no place of hell that is a place of eternal torment, but there is a place in the sense of the grave, and hell is a condition and identifies with grave and death. And when a individual dies unsaved, that's it. He'll have no more suffering forever and ever. Oh, no, I'm not going to believe that. Or the Bible tells us about marriage and divorce, and there's not to be divorce for any reason. Oh, no, I don't believe that. I think there's an exception. And actually, I think a loving God would allow, on point after point after point, the pastors, they set up deacons and elders who are single men, contrary to the Bible, who have been married, divorced, contrary to the Bible. I don't believe that. The Bible says it. And you see, why don't they believe these things? Why don't they trust the Bible on these points? Because they have no faith in the heart. There's no faith operating in the heart. Well, okay, going back to Romans 1, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And belief would be when God saves us and gives us a new heart and a new spirit, then we confess with our mouth, which is in agreement with our heart condition that has been made anew. And then all is well, all is fine. There's no hypocrisy. And it goes on to say the last part of verse 16, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And we're familiar with this order because the Bible tells us that judgment begins at the house of God. When it comes to God's wrath and his judgment program, we have learned there is an order of events, in order in which it is worked out. He starts with the house of God. And you know, that language, house of God, is picked up from the Old Testament. The temple, was the house of God. And likewise, the Israelite, the Jew, is a figure that represents the Christian. God uses Israel as a type and figure of the New Testament churches and congregations. Although we might be able to say, well, now, when it comes to salvation, God did deal with Israel first. He had the nation of Israel as his corporate body of the Old Testament. They were his outward representatives to the earth. Yes, but God didn't start saving when he formed the nation of Israel. He saved all the way back with Abel and Noah, and they weren't Jews. So the idea here is for the New Testament era, and with the New Testament era, God saves the Jew first, or besides that, as I mentioned, we understand he judges the Jew first, and then the Gentile, or the Greek. We see that order in Romans chapter 2, in Romans 2, verse 8, and the following. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, that is to the sinner, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. Tribulation and anguish to the sinner. And then it goes on to say, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. There is the order for God's judgment program that we have seen. Judgment begins at the house of God, or as Jeremiah 25 puts it, begin with the city called by my name. And then in the same chapter, we see it expands and transitions to the nations. Likewise, God began judgment on the churches and congregations of the world on May 21, 1988, the end of the church age, and he judged them for 23 full years until May 21, 2011. Then there was a transition from the Jew, which typified the Christian or the church, from the Jew, tribulation and anguish, or tribulation to the Jew first. Then it goes on to say of the Jew first in Romans 2:9, and also of the Gentile. And the word Gentile here is the same Greek word translated Greek in the verse we're looking at in verse 16 of Romans 1. So that's the process. That's the sequence, the order of events. Jew first, then Gentile when it comes to tribulation. Tribulation is a synonym for judgment. Judgment begins at the house of God. Great tribulation on the church. Transitions on that day of transition and beginning day of judgment, May 21, 2011, to the Greek, which here is representing all the people who are not Jews and therefore the Gentiles. To the Jew first, and now we're living on the earth in the day of the judgment or tribulation of the Gentiles. That's why it's a prolonged period of time, 23 inclusive years, according to the biblical evidence, which is pointing to the year 2033 AD, which the evidence is indicating would be the year the world ends. And so God is following this pattern that he has established. He gives his word to the Jew, then after a period of time, in the case of the church, 1955 years, he comes to visit. What did you do with my word? Well, that's the parable of the talents and the parable of the pound that we see. It's basically that question that is the focus of the judgment on the church. What did you do with my word? After 23 years, he's done with them. He's done with them. But isn't it interesting that after being done with the church in 1988, a few years later in 1994, he sent forth his word to the nations of the world, to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles had the word for about 17 years in a great way. a very short period of time, but it was bountiful. There was abundance of scripture proclaimed to the nations of the earth over the electronic airwaves, and God blessed them greatly by saving a great multitude, much more than were saved over the 1955 years of the church age and in all previous history. Then he comes on May 21, 2011, to the Gentiles. What did you do with my word? You see, it's the same thing. They were entrusted with the word of God, just as the corporate church was for a much longer period of time. But then God comes to the world. I gave you my word. What have you done with it? And then begins the judgment process, the tribulation upon the Gentiles, because they too were given the word of God, and now God is coming to visit to make judgment. What have you done with the talent? What have you done with the pounds that were given to you, the truth of the Bible that was proclaimed to the nations? And that's how we understand, really, God is laying out his twofold judgment program here. Tribulation, key word in Romans 2:9, Jew first, also the Gentile. Two tribulations. And that's what we've learned. But we also see here in Romans 2, in the next verse, verse 10, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. And you see, that agrees with what we're reading here in Romans 1:16. Power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And again, that's the same word translated Gentile in Romans 2. So God's salvation program is also given first to the Jew, then to the Greek, or the Gentile. And I just mentioned how that is. When God established the church age, he gave them his word. The two witnesses were witnessing. The law and the prophets, Moses and Elijah, were active within the churches and congregations. The churches had the Bible, the Holy Bible, in their midst. They were the caretakers of the oracles of God for century after century after century. So God blessed the church by saving his people over the course of those centuries. Therefore, the Jew received this power of God unto salvation that did produce belief in the heart of certain ones who were the elect people of God, predestinated to receive it. And following that, when the church age ended, after the grievous 2300 evening mourning period to separate the seasons and the rain from the early rain that stopped falling in 1988 to the latter rain, which would begin to fall in September 1994, then God sent forth his word with the rain from heaven. That is, his doctrine dropped as the dew upon the nations of the world, to the Greek, to the Gentiles. You see, God has the similar order. It's an order, a sequence for salvation. First the church, then the nations. Jew first, then the Greek. And it's an order or sequence for judgment. After the word has been given for the sufficient period of time, according to God's program of times and seasons, a long time in comparison to the church, 1955 years, you have the word, now I come to visit to see what you've done with the word, and judgment to the Jew. They had the word unto salvation first, then God's judgment first. Following that, the Gentiles received the word for a little season, the second part of the Great Tribulation, of latter rain, but it's just tremendous in the outpouring of it and the numbers that are hearing it, and the earth is saturated over the course of the period of latter rain until May 21, 2011. Then the judgment, the visit from God. What have you done with my word? What have you done with my word? You see the nations follow the Jews, receiving the word unto salvation, the power of God unto salvation. Then they follow the Jews in judgment or tribulation. And that's where we're presently at, in God's program. Okay, let's move on to verse 17 of Romans 1 that says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." For therein is referring back to the gospel. The gospel is the word of God. Therein would be in the Bible. Literally, when we look at the Greek text, it says, "For the righteousness of God in it." In it. And so the translators translated therein. And again, in the Bible is what's being referred to is the righteousness of God. And we know from many verses, such as 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, where it says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." So Christ Jesus is made to us righteousness. And the righteousness of God is in the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So does righteousness in the perimeter, in the boundary of the day of salvation. When God saved someone, he made them righteous. For by the righteousness of one, Romans 5:19 tells us, are many made righteous. And everyone who is truly saved has been made righteous by the righteousness of Christ as it's been delivered to them through the hearing of the word of God in the time, in that moment when the Lord applied Christ's atoning work at the foundation of the world, the shedding of his blood, with the hyssop of the word dipped into that blood spiritually, applied to the soul of the sinner who was chosen to receive it by God before the foundation of the world, and then they were made righteous. Their sins were washed away. They became equipped with the garment, the cloak of Christ's righteousness. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And we at E-Bible Fellowship, and Mr. Camping before us, and Family Radio at that time, have spent fairly good amount of time discussing how Christ is the faith. Whenever the Bible speaks of saving faith, it has Jesus in view, and there is no exception here, because it is speaking of salvation, going back to verse 16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Therein the gospel, therein the word of God is the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God revealed would be salvation revealed to the sinner as he receives it from faith to faith. Now, it's an unusual statement. It's not easy to understand. The theologians really struggle with this. We're helped with it because we have the advantage of knowing that Christ is the faith, and also the second or the concluding part of the verse, which says, "As it is written, the just shall live by faith." We know that's a quote from Habakkuk 2, verse 4, that says the just shall live by his faith. And so, again, God is leading us, directing us into that understanding that Christ is the faith here. that at least would be the starting point from faith. Now, literally, this verse would read Romans 1, verse 17, "For righteousness of God in it is being revealed out of faith into faith." That's the literal interpretation. The word translated "from" is the Greek word ek, and it means out of, and ek just means out, but faith is in the genitive, so it's out of faith, and then the word "from faith to faith," the preposition "to" is eis, into. It's going into someone, or into faith. Out of faith into faith. I think a good way of allowing the Bible to illustrate this would be for us to read in the Gospel of Mark of the woman who had a plague, an issue of blood for 12 years that she had suffered and could not be healed. And then she thinks if she can only touch Jesus. And so she does. In Mark 5, verse 27, "When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my plague?'" And again, here the preposition ek is used in relationship to Jesus when he said virtue had gone out of him. That's the idea. Virtue was in him. Virtue to do what in this case? To staunch the flow of blood, to heal her plague, and to have an issue of blood like that made her unclean. To be unclean was a figure of being a sinner, as we're all spiritually unclean in our sins. Christ healed the flow of blood, thereby making her clean again, and it came forth from Jesus. It was virtue leaving out of him into her. And then he finally says to her in verse 34, "And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" And "go in peace" in is that Greek word eis. Go into peace, Christ being the peace. And her faith, which would be Jesus himself, he could have said, "Thy God has made thee whole." And that would have been a true statement. So is thy faith, because he was her faith. Well, we're out of time. We'll have to pick this up again in the next Bible study.
You've been listening to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. Visit our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional studies. Until next time, may the Lord's perfect will be done.